Welcome to the first episode of Beyond the Classroom. In this episode, I have with me somebody whom I'm a fan of, somebody that is my mentor, and somebody whose work is well established. He is a final year student of systems engineering at the University of Lagos. He has interned at Goldman Sachs as a summer analyst. He has led the GDSC team at the University of Lagos. He currently leads the Engineering Career Expo here in the University of Lagos as well, which is none other than
I'm fine, how are you doing?
Thanks so much for coming.
Hey, welcome.
We'll talk back and forth.
Yes.
Thanks so much. So, whenever I meet someone in the tech ecosystem, I like to ask them a couple of questions, just get a feel of them. So, just two, three, quick fire questions. Anime, yes or no?
Yes. Okay. Yes, yes.
No sure, yes or no?
Yes, actually.
Okay. Finally, what do you think about AI? Do you think AI will be able to take our jobs?
Actually, I want it to, so I can be sleeping in my house every day.
How will it make money?
It will make money for me. I will employ it. I will employ it and probably have my own AI company too, you know. So it's kind of a recurrence in money. So it works for me. Not really, but no. But it looks like something nice that will be implemented, that should be implemented.
Okay, so thanks for coming once again.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Let's get to it.
Okay.
Talk to me about your pre-university journey. Like, do you have this? Because I meet a lot of people around here. They have this. I started writing Java at 6. I was writing Python at 7. Did you have any of that? Like, what was your background?
No, I did not. Well, I was just a normal secondary school student. Well, I think I had nothing. I was always in class. It was always class, home. I did not have anything to, you know. Yeah, nothing.
So just, was there any exposure to tech before university?
No, just mostly movies. It was movies. Movies that actually inspired me into tech and some previous things before then.
So you went to random sci-fi movie and you're like, okay, I want to be into tech. Or what was it like?
It was this particular movie, G.I. Joe. I don't know if you've seen it. Yeah, it was on nanotechnology.
Right.
So it was really cool, right? And I was like, oh yeah, I want to study nanotechnology. Looking for universities, then there was no university in Nigeria that does robotics or anything. And then I gave up the dream. I came to Unilag like everyone would.
Okay. So why did you pick system engineering?
Oh, because I wanted to study robotics engineering. So my mom works here at Unilag and I went to her office and then I saw this prospectus on one of the tables and then I saw Department of Systems Engineering. And I thought, oh, maybe it's like system, like computer. So it's not, please, we are very different. So I went and I started reading through the course outline. This thing looks cool. I was seeing robotic arm and I'm like, that's true. I said I want to do robotics, right? So say okay, let's do systems engineering. But you know, what you see is not what you get in your life.
How different has it been?
Very different. You do a lot of mathematics. Well, is at the ending part, you get to do a lot of like, oh, this is what I came for, and this is what I'm doing.
Right.
Like now,
Elliot seems like you spend a lot of time building that foundation. Maths?
Well, yes, maths and basically maths and other courses from electrical and all those ones. But it's now that we're about to leave, we're getting to see, oh, okay, there's AI, oh, there's industrial engineering, oh, there's this and that.
Yes, like specialized.
Yeah, specialized fully.
Right.
The specialization actually starts from 400,
right.
But at the end of the day, you're still struggling to do a couple because you have to meet your points.
Right, yeah.
But in your final year is when you can say, oh, yes, this is exactly what I want to do, except you're still trying to get a point before you graduate.
So it's fair to say your expectation has not been what you meant.
Yes, not really, like 40%.
Okay. So I want to talk to your time in the university, What was your first year like?
No, my first year was just a normal year. I'm trying to remember. It was just normal. I just resumed as every undergraduate, you're always running from DLI to engineering, go home, sleep, read, come to school. So I did not even have any, I didn't have anything, it was just basically just that undergraduate life. I think it was in first year, first semester holiday, there were these people from, they were in 500 at that time. So they had this web boots camp, and they're like, oh, it's people that are interested in tech or want to be. And I'd spoken to some of them previously about, because I used to see them doing all these tech things. Okay, then they said it's free. It was for just for 5 days. Like, okay, yeah, that's fine. I can, you know, take out the ass and come and do, because it's morning dating too. I paired up with my friend to use a laptop for 5 days, and it was really interesting. They gave us some book.
It was just for those five days.
So first two or three days were HTML. The last 2 days were CSS.
So that was your first introduction to tech?
Yeah, that was like basically my first introduction into tech. Yes, like programming tech.
Okay, okay. How about second semester? Did you do anything else?
No, I gave up the idea.
Did you find it difficult?
No, I was struggling with school. Okay. I've always been struggling with school, so from my first year. So I was always struggling, you know, I have to read, I have to do assignments. And then we now started doing a couple of labs, one lab here, one lab at. So it was like, this school. So I had to face what my parents sent me to school for.
All right, so in your second year, right?
Yeah.
You were the team coordinator for GDSE. I'm wondering, how did you do that your second year? Like, when you talk about your first year, all you had was just HTML, CSS, and it's just 5 days knowledge. And then your second year, you're team coordinator. So what was that transition like? What was your second year like?
Okay, so what happened then was, so like I said, I used to talk to a few of these
my seniors.
Yes. So there was Sadiq, aka Geek Tutor. Right. So I randomly just met him at, I think, Sibushe. They was discussing something, and then as I used to jump, I jumped into the conversation, and then like, okay, and then I just met him, and I collected his number, and I used to chat with him once in a while. And then at that time I joined GDSE. Yeah, I joined GDSE when I was
a member.
Yeah, I think I joined in when I was in year one. I just joined as a passive member because my friend spoke about it, and I mean, I'm a big fan of Google. And then I was like, wow, there's a developer student club by Google. And then I was on my friend's neck for months that sent me the link. I want to join. I must join Google. Said, okay, sent me the link. And then I joined. So then Geek was like, oh, is that, it's also at GDSE. I'm like, oh yeah, GDSE, that makes it easy for us to, you know, I mean, it's always easy to start a conversation from that whole GDSE and, or yeah, when you have something connected with someone, right? So I messaged them, and so I think we're discussing about something and then he was asking me, can I do this? I was like, I'm too shy, you that cannot do it. And then he said, it is shy, that will make two shy people. Right. So I was okay, it's not bad, let me give it a try. Because in my second year, I went for this Python ML bootcamp. They're doing this, I think the people doing it, so I can't remember their name right now, but they're at Tiaba. I can't really remember their name. So we're doing this Python bootcamp, and I was like, okay, since I'm doing something, I can also go into this. And that's how I started doing it, and I found it was kind of my thing. Oh, okay, people should discuss. Yeah, I enjoyed it because we're always discussing community. Oh, okay, people have to do this. And it was like project management, basically. So you have to tell people, you have to maybe speak at an event. I spoke at an event at that time. It was it was scary. I've not done it before. I had to prepare like 3 days because we had, I think it was ML Study Jam. And they had two people that were meant to do it. But the first person came, the second person did not come.
Right.
And the show must go on, regardlessly, right? So I said, that means it's me that I have to take it. And it was on neural networks. And I don't know what neural networks was at that time, but I had to take it. But luckily for me, they have this guide, like a slide that explains it. So a lot of people did not come that day. So I was like, I just join one, join two. I joined it, and then I now taught them. So that was really scary at first, because what am I standing in front of a lot of people? It's
vibing. You went for this?
Yeah, it did. I mean, well, I taught for like 2 hours. Yes, because you have to continue. It's long, right? So you have to continue the whole teaching till you get to the end. So it wasn't until I got to the end I could sit down and
Touched on Sadiq Akinjebi. I reckon your second year it was the GDSC lead.
Yes.
And then as of your third year, now you are the GDSC lead. What was that transition like?
Oh, it was scary at first, right? So I don't want to take it up because I felt like, I was in the community. I mean, I was very active in my second year because I was in the core team. So I was very active, you know, in meetups. That time, before COVID hit us, we used to have physical meetups. So I was always at meetups, you know, reaching out to people. So just felt like, you should do this. And I said, no, I want to do it when I'm in final year because I'd already planned my year. Without us, so earlier, that was COVID year, so I already planned, right? That first year, nothing, second year, nothing, third year, maybe court team, then fourth year, I'll take a break because of IT, then fifth year, I'll not come back and do GDS. But then the whole thing came like so fast, like, what's happening? I didn't expect this. And then I told him I can't do it, I'm too shy, right? And it was like, but I mean, there's nobody that would take it up apart from you. So I did the interview, I wrote the essay. So I did the application, then I wrote the essay. I did the interview, right? And then got email that I have been selected, and I'm like, wow, this is real. So for the first 2 to 3 months, I don't know what I was doing. I'm serious. On the surface, it felt like, everything's fine. But like internally, I knew like nothing. This is not happening. Because at that time, they were making a very big migration from using just forms in different, like using forms basically to maybe get members and all, to using the platform. So I had to migrate a lot of people from the forms to the platform. So like I was faced
platform,
with
you mean like groups like
what's no it's platform? They have a platform it's if you go to gdsc.community.dev they have this platform where you can sign up to be a chapter to be a part of the chapter so that was it was in my year they introduced it than you trying to maybe do Google group or something so that was it. And plus COVID, I have not done this before, and that's
I feel like Sadiq's shoes must have been really big for us to feel at the point.
Yeah, because he had already set the skill, right? Because everyone was always talking about GDSC in the lag everywhere, and then there's me that has zero experience. Like, what's happening? So, like, when I said the first 3 months were hell for me, I knew I was saying, but I was happy because it was COVID. So if anybody's looking for me, they cannot find me to beat me because I'm in my father's house there was, lockdown and no movement. So I was always in my father's house. So that was my only saving grace. But apart from that, it was really hectic. I mean, I had to work with it. Same. That was like my first time leading an actual team. So it comes with frustration and pain. Yeah.
You talked about like leading an actual team, and I want to like build on that, right? What's that like leading? Because now you're leading a team of volunteers, and my thing with leading volunteers is actually not getting paid. They're volunteers. You don't want to do anything. I mean, you can't do anything, right?
Yeah.
So what's like the unique challenge that comes with that, and how do you deal with it?
Well, that's the first challenge actually, because you're actually not paying them. So if you shout on their head, they can shout at you back down. But you are not paying me, and then they proceed to leave, which is going to be painful on your own end. So what I did then was I kind of plan what we should do for the month or maybe 2 months ahead, and then I reach out to them early that we have this and this and that. Please can you do it on time? So with that grace or that short, there's a space. And by the time you pick up your laptop, maybe use day one to pick up your laptop, day two to sit down, day three. At the end of the day, you are already or before that time, you should have done it. Like yes. So exactly, that's one way that I try to, you know, break that thing down. Also, motivation. I try to motivate them. I'm not a motivational person. Yes, but I try to give words of, you can do this. You can, you know. And I also try to support them when I say, okay, you're trying to do something, and maybe you're having issues, I could come in, give ideas, even though I don't know what I'm saying. I mean, it's a simple Google search. Google is for everyone. So I just Google, how to do this and that and that. And then I'm like, take this link, take that link. So when it looks like I'm interested in what you're doing, I mean, you should also have that.
You have that introduction as well.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a lead.
So you should do something.
I think
when
you're a GDSC lead, right, your tenure is quite unique. So I went to a while, internal lockdown. And then I have business Sodiq's legacy, and then afterwards we had Chidi Ebere, Rivaldo Antoni, Rivaldo. I think we have Afsa now, yeah?
Yeah, Afsa.
Right. So when you think about the whole experience, what about that 1 year span? It's like your highlights and those experiences. Oh, yeah.
My highlights. That's a very deep question. So my highlights was, events wise, was inviting the programs manager for the whole GDSA, like globally, to an event. So I was like, okay, it's locked down, right? It won't hurt to send an email.
Right.
And then I sat down, I typed the email.
Right.
That time there was no GPT. So I had to use my head to actually write the email. So I wrote the email and I sent it to her. 1 week, no reply. So I'm like, nah, let's move on. And then one night like that, I just got a notification. I'm like, okay, who is this email? Like, who is sending email at night? I've forgotten that we're in different time zones.
Right.
And then I'm like, okay, I started reading. And then I started reading the book. She'll be available. And I'm like, Mado, that's interesting. Okay, you know what? I think we're actually going to make this very serious.
Right.
So I had to look for an editor that time. An editor used to work in Africa at that time.
Okay.
So I invited him that, since looks like things are getting serious, let me add serious people to the event. So I invited him to, and then I invited a couple of other people. I can't really remember, but just like the top people I can remember. And then I had the event. So then that was events wise, that was the highlight for me. Then tenure wise, I got to work with amazing people, right? Oh, that was the time Afsa was on my team. She's currently the lead. So she was on my team, right? And she was always working. I mean, work with sometimes. I'm like, please, why is this girl messaging me? Like, don't you, calm down, small, all of us.
Yeah.
But she was always working, and that was nice. Then I got to work with amazing people, really. That was
like
the highlight.
With every volunteer organization, when it's a success, it has a lot to do with people you had with you.
Yeah.
Having passionate people in your course.
Yeah, I had a lot of passionate people that were taking. Then there was also Folusho.
Right.
There's Afsa, I mean, strength there, but still, Folusho can literally use message to kill you. So that was because sometimes when I'm not doing this anymore, then Folusho's message is coming in, and I'm like, God, please, what kind of volunteers do I have? His messages were always so nice to get, and he was always working. So having those people that motivates you around was also one highlight for me.
So aside GDSC, you also quite affiliated with Engineering Career Expo. Currently you lead Engineering Career Expo.
Yeah, I do.
So let's talk about your journey from youth. I reckon last year you were the deputy chairman. When did you join
ECX? I joined ECX when I was in year two. Yeah, I joined as Sadiq. Because Sadiq was also there. I think it was their head of training.
Right.
So I just joined as maybe his PA that time.
Right.
Or to just help with the training. Because
right.
I was into tech. I was just getting started into tech. I'm also still getting started into tech.
Please.
It's true. So, was like, okay, that since I'm looking to get experience, I know, let me come and do that for him. And I was like, okay, all right, that's fine. And then I was always calling all the tutors, trying to get them to classes. I know. So after that was the first, then when they finished, they were like, I was very active, right? And she come and do assistant head of training. I was like, okay, that's fine. And basically, I just continued what I was doing from Then moved to
assistant. Was in your third year?
Yes, it should be third year. I still really messed a lot of things up. So I think it should be third year. Then fourth year was the teacher person. And now,
so can you talk about the CX in general for that person who doesn't know CX? What is CX about?
Oh, so this is an ad by ECX. So ECX is basically a student-led organization, right? What we do is trying to bridge the gap between the practical world and what you're doing currently. So as everyone has a future of working out or maybe doing something, right? And with the school setting that we have, we don't have that, you don't really have that luxury, because there are a lot of things that bound you to your
classroom.
Yeah, to your classroom. Okay. So basically what we do at ECX is try to bring the outside world to you in terms of training. So we have, because we're mostly tech based, so we do our tech trainings. We also do soft skills, because you have hard skills, you need to have soft skills too. Right. So we also do soft skills training. We also do things like trying to remember 21 days of code or 30 days of code. Yeah. So that
as
one is a daily. Yeah, that was, we started that during lockdown.
Oh,
so how was it?
I mean, that was when I created my GitHub account. And my GitHub account is expert. So
nice. Good, you're welcome. You also won. So we do 30 days of code where you participate in 30 consecutive days.
Right.
To for challenges, and submit your challenges basically, and they get graded, and at the end of the day there's a leaderboard, and these are the people that have the highest scores.
I feel like the work at ECX is so important that if I were to speak to 10 people within the University of Lagos tech ecosystem, at least 5 to 6 of them would be like, yeah, I started for going to that random ECX class. For me, mine was that random, we talk about Python, and we must have been there that day, and it was just, it was a lot to me, but that was the beginning of my journey.
Well, nah, yeah, boss.
So let me just update now. Just tell you guys are doing amazingly well.
Thank you very
CX
much. Thank you.
Alright, so you also touched about soft skill. I think that as much as people talk about technical skill, I can write X and Y, device fire, I can do, I can write 1 million programming languages. We don't really talk about your soft skill enough. What do you think about soft skill, and when you reflect on your career thus far, how important has it been? Like having that soft skills,
right? Yeah, soft skills, they are quite important, because they are mostly, it's one of the factors, right, that gives you the job.
Right.
Not just, I can write code in the air. Yeah. I mean, there might be 100 people that do that, but what exactly, or how exactly can you portray it?
Yeah.
So, soft skills, they are very important, because it's basically how you carry yourself. For example, communication skills. If you don't know how to talk to someone, how do you pass your question, your knowledge, or what you've done so far to the other person? If you can't make me understand what you're doing, I can't hire you. Or how can I resolve conflicts? It's not every time you fight, you're not in Bariga. Sorry. But you're not in Bariga. I mean, so you have to know how to do conflict resolution.
Okay.
Also, putting yourself out there.
Right.
It's not every time you... Yes, hide behind the camera. I'm also that kind of person. But I mean, you need to put your work out there for people to know this is what you're doing.
Yeah, reading the
you've done, and not really. Not really, sure, but like. Let people just know. So when you mention your name out there, they can know, okay, this is what you're associated with.
Right.
Yeah, simple. Then also, like, networking. So it's not about. Because you want to get a job, or I'm not talking about networking in the nepotism kind of way now, but basically just knowing people, like this is someone you can always reach out to, someone, because I mean everyone has problems one time or the other, so you have to reach out to someone to let the person know what you're doing, or maybe for help. Basically, just have people around that you can discuss the same thing with, and you won't get weird.
So you talked about when we mention your name, then we need to think about, okay, this is what I know this person with.
Yeah.
When you mention if you're Agba or you share, all of these are coming to mind. There are two things, right? It's
Julia,
right? And Nito. So I'd like to talk about both of them. Let's start with Julia. So I reckon it's a programming language.
Yeah, it is.
What about it? You're big on it. You even spoke at JuliaCon sometime back, right?
Yeah, I did. Okay. Julia is a programming language, right? And it's like Python. And me, I was always looking for speed that time because everybody's always talking about speed. And then they said Julia is fast, it's 1 million times faster than Python or something. Right. And I'm like, okay, let me try it out. And I started trying it out, and it was really cool. And I just continued writing it. And at that time, the community was very, very, I don't want to use the word restricted because that was so strong. Yeah, apart from me to grow in it, just like mostly for academics, so academians or whatever they call them. So me finding myself there, trying to find people that, you know, do the same thing as me, were just hobbyists or whatever they call us, just trying to find something new. So that's how I started writing about it. It was looking interesting. My plan was to create as many articles as possible because for me, my first contribution to Julia was actually an issue. I could not run something on my system. Well, I would partially blame Windows for it. So I could not run this thing on my system and I needed it to run. So I started reading up on a lot of Stack Overflow issues, website, and then I got the solution out, or my partial solution, and that was even my first, I think that was my first article. So that was the first thing I did, and then from then I said, okay, there are not a lot of articles, because if you Google something, it's always the docs, or probably just seeing some random copied Stack Overflow questions. So it's always weird. So I was like, okay, I think what I can do is so that was what I was trying to do with Julia. Yeah. Then at NITOB is where I basically stay. Not like leave, oh please, right. Not leave. I stay at NITOB, so you know, I volunteer at NITOB basically. Right. Just do stuff. No. I just do stuff actually.
Just stuff. All right.
So
you've been opportunity to work as a summer analyst at perhaps the biggest investment bank in the world.
I did the biggest.
It is the biggest. Okay.
I don't know. Okay.
And you spent a summer in London.
Birmingham.
Yes, Birmingham.
I don't want
Birmingham.
Yes, all London.
Okay, you did that. So what was the experience like? Talk to me. What was it like working at Goldman Sachs?
I don't know where to start. Well, it's a different experience actually, because I mean,
hold on, had you worked in any startup prior to?
No, I've not worked. Yeah, well, part time at a startup. Yeah, I was working part time at a startup, but it wasn't really doing project management there, so it's not anything serious. So yeah, it's a different experience, right? I mean, country wise, continent wise, you see how advanced people are. Sorry, shade.
Yeah.
So you see how people, you see how advanced people are, the way things are being done. First, there's, I mean, the change of temperature, environment, people, a lot of white people around, because obviously it's a country. Then food, I mean, it's not every today you're eating, tomorrow you're eating,
so
I don't know.
Experience, not just,
So I mean, the experience was like all around, then working with people, then a lot of people mention, is it traditional shock where you express, you talk to people in their first name, where you talk to people. So instead of people to call me, they could call maybe Miss Olise Nigeria or something. Over there, they call you like your first name. So I was kind of used to it because I work with, or I interact with people basically on their first name, not their last name. So it wasn't really of a shock to me that, okay, I'm calling my manager in his first name. Well, the only shock was sometimes I'm talking to my manager. My manager has like 20 years of experience, and that's literally around how old I was that time.
Right.
So like his experience is older than me. So sometimes when I'm talking to him, I'm just going to, Mr. Then the other one is also asking for requests. So you could be at a meeting, right? I remember that was a very, very funny experience. We'll be at a meeting, and then, you know, ideally in Nigeria, I love Nigerian places. You'll be like, oh, can I go and, you know, use the restaurant? Then you'll be like, yes. But meanwhile, there, you just be like, oh, I am coming. But then I don't know what happened. The Nigeria took over me, right, you know, in a meeting. So we're having a meeting, and then I was like, oh, hi. Can I, you know, can I step out? And then two of them were looking at themselves like, and I was like, oh, you don't need to ask for permission. And I'm like, oh yeah, sorry. Like, sorry, something we used to do in our motherland. Like, oh, okay, no problem. I'm sure that after I left, they were like, that was a very weird, because it was so awkward in the office, and we're just the three were in like all these cubicles, so it was very, very weird. Like, I just had to run out. Before the thing got weird and that, so that was one. And I mean, you get to meet people, you can talk freely to people. It's not the one where you want to talk to someone that is way older than you or way higher than you in rank, and then you are going from A to B to C to D to E to F, so you could just go straightly. Like, I spoke to my manager, the person that was heading the whole team, because my team was split across each region. We had the LATAM region, EMEA, then India, and all those things. So, like, it was the manager for all the region. So, I just recently reached out to him, like, one day. I sent him a message on Skype and replied. He said I should book a calendar. I should pick calendar on, yeah, on his calendar. And I picked it, and he came for the meeting, and we had a meeting, and that was all. And like, wow, because I mean, he has like, I think around 30 plus years at working at Goldman or so. I mean, he has only worked at Goldman in his life, so like all his life was Goodman.
What was the experience like at the point when I was in my fourth year.
I remember, right. I was going to use it at IT, but I so struck.
Right. So, your 40, what was that like, talking to guys with that kind of experience, talking to someone that has 30 years experience, 30 years experience, 20 years experience, what was that like? Were you intimidated?
No, I was not intimidated.
Like, were you excited? Okay, I'm learning from this person.
Yeah, I was always happy that, oh, if I have problem, I can always reach out to them, which I actually did. I had one particular issue that I was happy my manager had that experience, because that issue could have taken me like 5 days to fix, because it was trying to pull my commit to the top, and it was below, because I mean, there are a lot of people working on it, so there are a lot of commits. So I just told my manager that this was happening and that was happening, and then the next thing, he just brought out the keyboard, and in less than 5 minutes it was fixed. And this something was, I've been doing it for almost 2 hours. I reached out to my body was like, okay, I should just try, you know, maybe I should meet my manager. And then I met my manager, and then in 5 minutes or less it was done, and I'm like, wow. Because I mean, that was, I don't think I would have relieved myself from that shock if I had gone through that process.
Also, you represented the University of Lagos, you've spoken outside the country a number of times. I would like to touch on that, but first of all, let's have one from our sponsors.
Taking care of your mental health is a key to a healthy and bright future. This series is brought to you by Sound as a Bell Initiative. Sound as a Bell Initiative is always advocating for open dialogues around mental health. This is in conjunction with the 3rd United Nations Sustainable Development Goals.
Also, be sure to follow the Sound as a Bell Initiative on all social media platforms, including Twitter, Instagram, and of course, welcome back. Earlier this year, you represented the University of Lagos at Kigali at the Carnegie Mellon African Center for Inclusive Digital Transformation. What was that like? Talk to me.
It was a nice experience. Getting to represent this lovely university outside was a great privilege, because it could have picked other people, but picking one, that's nice. So yes, yeah, it was a nice experience getting to meet with other African university students right. outside. So yes, it was like, ah, okay, why not? I mean, we're about 80. Right. Is it 80 or so? I can't remember, but from like 16 universities or so. So we got to mingle with them, share ideas, make more network with people and those kind of things, right? So that was, it was a really lovely experience. Then getting to meet top people in the industry, entrepreneurship industry. So it's a nice experience. Awesome. Nice. I think there was a LinkedIn post. Go and like my LinkedIn post. Thank you. That's my last LinkedIn post. I don't post on LinkedIn much.
Right. So also I reckon that there was a little competition, like you had to put an idea. And your team came first in the preliminary stages. You came before the bubble.
Yeah.
Talked about the solution, and there was something about the fourth sustainable development goal. Education.
Yeah, education. So we're giving education as our challenge,
right.
And then we're giving, I think, can't remember the word for it now. Like, what we should work towards, okay. Like a problem statement. Right. Yes, that's a problem statement.
Right.
So we're giving a problem statement, right? To like find something around. Education poverty,
right.
So yeah, how to tackle education poverty. So
right.
My team took it from the approach of addressing both the mothers and the children. So it was a two-way solution.
Right.
You provide tablets for the students,
right.
Or for the children,
okay.
And also you provide like tech jobs from these AI companies that need click workers,
right.
To perform tasks on their platform, and then they could earn money, because that's the easiest way for a lot of these parents to make money, because some of them are not really educated, so you can't give them an ideal role.
Right.
So from that they can earn money for both the children and for themselves, and then they pay for the tablets instrumentally. So that's like the solution that we
nice.
Came up with.
That's
yeah,
really nice. Also you were in South Africa.
Yes, making the travel a lot too.
Ah, yeah, you do. So then, you said the University of Lagos at the Student Tech Workshop in South Africa.
Yeah.
What was the experience like?
It was actually a very lovely experience. I mean, I got to meet new people as usual, of course. I mean, then.
You love meeting new people, didn't you?
Not really. Oh, yeah, you just met someone. Oh, at least different people. Yeah, then it so changed temperature. I mean, their food was the only thing I can't forget, because it did not have pepper. And I'm a proper Yoruba girl. And
okay.
I like pepper. So, that was even the same thing to happen to me in the UK. Like, this would not have pepper. I was actually very weak, because I don't eat pepper for 7 days.
Right.
And the place where I went, I told them, oh, give me pepper. They gave me actual atarudo, like, I know I'm Yoruba, but that's a bit too far. I mean,
right.
Take it easy. So, South Africa too was another experience. I stayed in a university, that's the University of Wits. And the university is very nice, to be honest. I was like, can I transfer to the university? Because ASAP, what? I'll be rapping in the lab from that place. So, I got to also work with people from another country, because I was the only Nigerian on my team. I got to work with like different people, so from the way they talk to the way they think, so you don't just force your opinion. I mean, that's something I've learned over the years. When working with people, you don't force your opinion on them, because it doesn't look like you're coming off as a bossy person, or you try to explain your ideas to them so that they can understand your point of view. So that's basically just soft skills coming into work. So you need to understand other people's point of view, and then how to merge everything and then present it, so you don't come off being rude or something. And then yes, that was it. It was a nice experience. And then it was like a sprint, because you had to build something. I was there for, I think, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 4 days. Yes, 4 days.
And you had a couple of seminars.
Seminars, workshop. Basically, we had the seminars before the whole coming. The whole coming was for the hackathon. We had an hackathon there, and we're already given our problem and the problem statement. So it was basically just you coming. So we're always working around the clock. So yeah, so I mean it was same thing, not really fun, it was same thing too in Kigali. So you are working all around, you don't sleep on time. Well, but me, I used to sleep because I mean I'll finish my own task. I'm gonna sleep. I cannot die in another person's motherland. No, when I'm outside countries, I cannot die in another person's motherland. That's my, I must leave. Right.
So, I want to touch on another experience you had outside the country. Well.
Ah, you are making it look like I'm a traveler. I've said this thing before. I'm not.
Right. So, and before I touch on that, it has to do with machine learning. And you're a software engineer, but you are currently focusing on machine learning, right?
Yes.
Well, what's interesting about machine learning? What's about machine learning?
I think it was movies that sent me there at first. So AI looks cool. They always portray it as something that is interesting. So
you think it's interesting?
It's interesting. Getting to do prediction and building things that can detect and all. It's like you're giving machines power, and I hope they don't come after us one day. So yeah, that's it. So
deep learning in Java is like an event.
Yes.
They have its annual event, and the idea is to bring AI people in Africa together.
Yes.
Okay. So you were in the 2023 edition at Accra.
Yeah.
Talk to me. How was that?
It was very, very interesting. As usual, meet new people. I feel that's my go-to line.
Yeah.
So you get to meet new people. Get to meet like people that are actually doing the stuff, like teammates. Now, teammates Gabriel, she was there. I think she spoke twice. She was there. You get to meet, Jeff Dean. Oh my God, that was like the highlight for me. I got into his mentorship class. They didn't put, is it mentor? Maybe mentor is just a session. There's always this 1 hour session before the main event starts. So I opted to be part of it. So what they did was to put the profile of everyone. So they don't put the people's name there. So you don't be like, oh, you're actually going because it is A that is there. So you read through all their profiles and you pick. So it's now that you've picked, this is the person that is there. So there's no, you don't know the person before then. So I think that it came on a Friday. So when I was reading through Friday's profile, this person's profile I just stood out. I was like, I need to actually meet this person's session. Right. And it turned out to be Jeff Dean. So I was able to ask him a lot of questions. I mean, it was part of people that created or built TensorFlow and all. So it was pretty cool. Like, the person that built what I'm using or part of people that built what I'm using is really amazing. Ask questions. Then there are people from this school in Quebec. Is it Quebec? Actually, I don't know, the school is from Canada. And they came, spoke to us about it, meet a lot of researchers, people that do applied research and pure research. You get to ask questions like, okay, I'm just starting out or I have plans for this, what can I do? Or like waiting or meeting in like over emails or something. It's like very easy. They also get to see the playful side of all of them, because we had like a party twice, or there was always something every night, and I was making sure I attend because I cannot leave a regret. So every night I'm always dropping my bag and I'm always there whether they invited me or not. Always find a way to sneak in. So I got in, get to see the fun part of these people. They actually know how to party. Oh my God. Those people.
Wow.
So, yes, that was it. It was very inspiring. I've always wanted to get back into the ML space, but I was always postponing it. But when I went for Indaba, I was doing ML before, but I paused because there was no money. So I was like, let me do software engineering. I need some money. So when I went for Indaba, that was like, oh, this is actually what I need to. And then I came back and
what do you think about this? I feel like when you meet people are doing machine learning, guys I've met, myself included, you get to this point where you're like, okay, this is not giving. Let me go to software engineering. Because you see your counterpart that's in software engineering, this guy's making money. And I'm still here, I'm testing models, I'm doing validation, I'm doing future engineering. What do you think about like the barrier entry in machine learning in general?
Well, I feel is, well, I used to think it's too high, because why do I need a PhD before I can get a job, or I should have like 5 years? Where do I want to get a 5 years experience when you don't give me job, or I can't say something?
Right.
So it's, I used to feel it was too high, and then I told myself, probably, then I looked through it, and then I'm seeing it might not be something that's too high, because this thing requires a lot of like sensitivity, because
right.
if you look at the way all these AI companies, they flop, it's always due to something, due to maybe biasness, or maybe they're not being inclusive enough,
right, yeah.
and or so like you have to have a level of understanding. But as time has gone on, you don't actually really have to go to a lot of schools, because I have friends that work in the ML space,
right.
and some of them don't, the highest they have is like their BSc,
right.
and they're already working. So I feel you could enter from doing probably open source, because I have a friend that got into one of these big companies via open source, because it was where he was doing his contribution. They referred him to one company, then he worked there for a while, then he switched companies like to a bigger
nice.
place. So it's like, just find something, you get it. It's determination.
Just find something.
Yes, if you're 2024.
Okay. So I'm curious if you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever consider any other career path, perhaps? I mean, within tech, you say you're going to do your UX for a while. This is front end thing. Was there any?
Well, I started with front end. I mean, I was a baby front end developer. I did mostly HTML and CSS, and then I was about to start JavaScript, and it was looking so. So I said, nah, I'm doing this. I moved to Python. Then did I do UI? No, I had to, but I know how to use Figma to some extent, because I had to teach a Figma class when the tutor was not around. So I mean, I had to. I can't show them that. I mean, you know, I said like the show must go on at the beginning. It must go on. So I had to know how to use it for that class. So,
another question. How different do you think your career path would be without community? How important is community in being?
Can't imagine, because community is basically how I built my career. So community is literally like my whole career, because I built from starting out to where I am, which is still starting out. Basically, my starting out has been community. So I've always been, community will play if you know how to navigate your way through it. Community plays a very big part in your tech journey. That's if you want to use it. There are some people that they don't, you know, no community, they don't really engage in this, but hey, what works for you? Anything.
We're getting to the end here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know, when you're not coding, when you're not doing community work, what do you do for self-care?
Watching anime/movies, I mean, just sit down and tell myself one more episode, 5 more minutes, one more movie, and then I'm watching, my eyes are red, I'm tired, I cannot move. Don't feel my doze off. It's not, but I mean, the show must go on. I must finish, I must reach the end like last week.
Right.
I was already dozing off, and I was at the top bunk. I said, I must finish watching. I can't wake up. You know, it'll be somehow.
Right.
You just have 5 more minutes to watch. Let me just finish watching it. So that's one. Yeah, so watching a lot of like movies.
Yes, right.
Then I mean, hanging out with my friends. Because I'm quite a reserved person, so I have just a few people I talk with like constantly. So yeah, hanging out with them, or just basically ranting, you know, gisting or anything that is not, yes, banned, anything that is basically not, you know, in my, that is in tech or something,
yeah,
just talking about that. Then probably reading articles. I like reading all these. Just articles now.
Okay.
I don't read books yet. I've tried picking up. I used to read books before when I was in secondary school, but
right.
I stopped. I don't know why. Oh, yeah, it was Unilag that made me, engineering to be precise, that made me stop a lot of hobbies I was doing. I used to have a lot of hobbies, but engineering said, no, you break everything from you. So I'm picking up new hobbies now. So read basically just random articles like, oh, how random is random, or so all those, you know, all those very funny things. Or yes, I currently have this new hobby where I spend a lot of time on Snapchat. I watch all these food videos, or all these, basically either it's food videos or mostly food videos. It's not like I'm just like enjoy them. These food competitions, like people that eat food in a limited amount of time, or basically all these work feels like all these. Oh, you are trying to carry something and you fall down. I don't know. I've forgotten skits or something. It's not skits, but it's real life. Like the dude could be walking and then he just falls and then everything falls on him. Feels, yeah, they call them feels. Like watching that. Yeah, it's very funny because I mean people are falling.
Right. All right, so how do you combine all the community work, your tech work, like extracurricular activities with school? How do you do that? How do you balance it?
Well, as you say, you manage your time. As you say. So I try to manage my time. I know when I'm meant to be working, I should be working. When I'm meant to be doing this, I should be doing that. So I try to position myself, especially if I've not eaten. That's the worst. So I'm like, oh, I'm not going to eat. I must not stand up until I finish this. So I deliberately sit down there and do what I have to do before I stand up. Because I know if I stand up, I'm not going to do it. I have a very, very limited attention span to things. So I try my best to always do things when I remember it. So I write it down. I have a book where I used to write what I have to do for the day. And I don't do digital because I've tried digital several times and it has failed me. So I have a pen and paper where I can physically write. And I write, I click it, and I don't put it in, this is the order. I just write everything. And then I'm like, okay, what have I not done on this list? Can I pick this? Because when I put it in order, my brain is kind of programmed to, it's stressful. But when I just have everything, I can just start with anything. So that's like how I try to manage my time. Sometimes it works, sometimes it does not work. Just say 70-30. Sometimes I rather just watch. Yes, then do something.
One last question. This is very last one, I promise. If you could change anything about your tech career to this day, what would you change?
I should stop being fearful. I mean, nobody's going to kill you if you ask questions. I could have progressed more than this if I was not afraid of failing at running something, afraid of failing of doing something. Maybe they sack you at your work. That's a big reason why I don't like taking on jobs. Like, I don't want these people to know that I cannot do this. So I'd rather just go. And then at the same time, I'm missing out experience, money, important. And like, yes, experience and money. So it's just fear, basically. Like, just try and do it. It's not going to bite you. I feel it's like too hard, but at the end of the day, it's not hard. So, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Really, really enjoyed having you as well.
Mm-hmm.
I've been inspired. Inspired. And I imagine there are lots of people out there that are also inspired by your work. Keep at it and keep inspiring the rest of us.
Thank you.
Make it out this sometimes.
This time it's money. Book 6 months in advance.
How does your pay?
I don't need pay, my pay.
Oh,
AI is my pay. Welcome.
Thank you guys. See you next episode.
Bye.